back to the Fantasy Show across the Sportsnet Radio Network. Show Ali, Matt Marchese alongside you on this podcast edition of the program, a post-week four waiver wire edition of the show as we parse through the opportunities, the injuries for players in the world of fantasy football this past weekend. So, Matt, before we get into the waiver pickups of the week, and I imagine the Denver running back situation is one we just have to look at that because what an absolute mess. And I feel terrible for Javonte Williams, who apparently, I think he has the J.K. Dobbins injury. He had, like, he not only tore his ACL, but he tore a whole bunch of things in his knee. So he is out. It's going to be a long road to recovery. We wish him the best, but the situation for the remaining running backs is a messy one. But before we get into all of that, I want to get to a few more buy, sell, holds with you, if you're cool with that.
Yeah, let's roll.
All right, let's do it. So I wanted to start with a certain quarterback. And I mean, I'll be completely honest, when this guy took the field at the beginning of the season, I thought I definitely poo-pooed it. I kind of thought to myself, here we go. Like, here, you know, I don't know if I really want to own any part of this offense. And it's Geno Smith with the Seattle Seahawks. I definitely downgrade. I think I would say everyone did. Downgraded DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and Rashad Penny. Well, the Seahawks scored, I believe, 48 points against the Detroit Lions this past weekend. Is that going to happen every single week? No. The Seahawks are taking on the Saints, I think, in week five. So I think you can. It's safe to say it'll probably be a lower scoring game because the Saints defense is much better than the Lions defense. Having said that, Geno Smith has been very, very steady. He's owned in just 13% of your Yahoo leagues. Should you be buying Geno Smith as much as humanly possible right now?
Well, I mean, I'm not trading for him because at this point, I hope that I have my quarterback situation figured out. But having said that, as a waiver claim, like, absolutely. Geno Smith, QB9 through the first four games, 77% completion rate. He's got 7 total touchdowns to 2 interceptions. He's got the 6 passing touchdowns, the 1 rushing touchdown. And he's got, like you mentioned, he's got the weapons in place that make for what could be a pretty fruitful fantasy season. I mean, 77% completion rate, and he's not turning the ball over all that much. And they're not doing the, hey, we're going to throw the ball 20 times thing either, like they did with Russell Wilson, which is completely bizarre. Although we've seen what's happened with Russell Wilson, and it hasn't been, I mean, a better week this past week, but it hasn't been fantasy gold like we thought it was going to. They're letting Geno cook. And I'm stunned by this, but DK Metcalf has been good. Tyler Lockett's been good. Rashad Penny took him a few weeks, but he had the big game against the Lions. And the guy who's been the focal point of all this is Geno Smith getting these guys the ball. So I would absolutely be putting in a waiver claim. Like, if you were riding with Carson Wentz, I think that ship has already sailed. Yeah. That didn't take very long. So Geno Smith would absolutely be near that list. The Saints this week, listen, Kirk Cousins had a good day against the Saints in the London game. Then they get the Cardinals, Chargers upcoming. There's some good matchups here for Geno Smith. And I would be going out and putting in a claim if I have any sort of struggling at the quarterback position. Hey, even if you have Aaron Rodgers at this point, Geno Smith, it's a good pickup to make. So then you can play between the two of them and play the better matchup.
Yeah, Geno Smith has been absolutely on fuego so far this season, and I think he definitely seemed to build off of the you know, I wrote them, they ain't write me back or whatever, right? So I think, or they wrote me off, they write me back. I think that whole thing was fantastic. So, hey, yeah, Geno Smith just 13% owned. Before we get to the rest of the waivers, I wanted to wrap up on these buy-sell holds with you. Just a pair of wide receivers I'm curious on. We mentioned Carson Wentz, who, of course, now plays for the Commanders, but, of course, previously played for the Indianapolis Colts. Matt Ryan now for the Colts. Just, oh my gosh, Matt, just tanking the value of virtually every player. That's, I guess, every player that's not a tight end, but I don't know if you really want to get on the Jelani Woods, Mo Alie-Cox roulette wheel every single week. But Michael Pittman Jr., I feel like he was drafted, like he was pegged as one of those breakout candidates. And like after week one, it looked fantastic. He still is obviously a huge part of that offense. But like, if you have Michael Pittman Jr., are you considering selling him? Are you going to hold on him? If you are someone who has eyed him so far, are you going to try and trade for him? Like, what do you do with Michael Pittman Jr.?
I think that's a hold situation. A hold if I have, buy if I don't. Because there are some people that get really impatient with wide receiver, with any player. It doesn't even have to be just a wide receiver, but they see Michael Pittman and they see Matt Ryan, and it hasn't been all that horrible for Michael Pittman. But having said that, last week wasn't all that great, and Matt Ryan has been, generally speaking, pretty awful. I would try and get as many Michael Pittman shares as I possibly can. If I have them, I'm holding on to the hope that there's a bit of a breakout coming again, only because you spend some draft capital on him, and that's how I would kind of attack that, especially at a position where, listen, we know that it's deep, but the elite guys that put up numbers, those guys can be difference makers. And I do think that Michael Pittman Jr. can still be a difference maker. You and I were both high on him as the offseason progressed, and both had him in our top 10. And I still think that that is a very, very good possibility. I would not be selling him, only because the cost that you, it's a sunk cost at that point if you try and sell him. And I just don't think that that's good for your fantasy roster.
Yeah, you know what? You're probably right. Like, you're probably never going to get back the value you put into him, because he was probably drafted in what, like the, I don't know, like the fourth round or fifth round or something like that, right? So he was relatively drafted highly. So yeah, I guess you by definition almost have to hold on Michael Pittman Jr. But oh boy, watching Matt Ryan try and get him the football sometimes is pretty brutal. Last one for me, Diontae Johnson with the Pittsburgh Steelers. The quarterback change is always something that, I don't know if like worrying is quite the right word, but so, I mean, we saw the effect of Zach Wilson, the going from Joe Flacco to Zach Wilson on the Jets offense. Certainly looks like it's good for some guys. Like if you're a Corey Davis fan, or if you're a Breece Hall fan, and people are drafting Breece Hall pretty highly, Breece Hall looks like he's getting a lot of work. And if Zach Wilson hits him on that wheel route, you're probably talking about Breece Hall as one of the better producing fantasy players, period, of week four. So there's that, but not so great for Garrett Wilson shares, right? So when it comes to Pittsburgh, Kenny Pickett is now the guy going forward after Mike Tomlin was so adamant that they were not switching off of Trubisky. They now have, because he was just struggling so badly. Kenny Pickett came in, and he just seemed to look away from Diontae Johnson in favor of George Pickens, who I will add is 40% owned in Yahoo leagues. Are you holding on Diontae Johnson, like, essentially out of necessity?
I think you got to wait a week, and then if he has a good week this coming week, which he could against the Bills, then I would try and sell, because he did only have four. His first 3 weeks, he had 12 targets, 10 targets, 11 targets. This past week against the New York Jets, four targets. Now, I don't know how much of that was going up against Sauce Gardner. I don't know how much of that is going is having Kenny Pickett come into the game, but there's probably an issue here. George Pickens would have worked a little bit more with Kenny Pickett this offseason. They would have had rookie camp together, OTAs, because Pickens wasn't with the first team, taking first team reps, and neither was Kenny Pickett. So all of this kind of bleeds into, is this trouble for Diontae Johnson? And while I do still think that Diontae Johnson is going to get his, my concern would be his week-to-week production. He's not. I don't know if he's going to get an average of 11 targets every week. I don't think so, based on what we saw this past week. You know, he only had the two catches for 11 yards. He did get robbed on a touchdown. Like, that was a touchdown, which would have helped save his day. But having said all that, if he has a good week against the Bills, I would try and get as much as you can for him, because it just might be too sporadic for his production for the rest of the season that you can rely on him as any more than a wide receiver three week in and week out.
Yeah, someone who owns shares of Diontae, I should say, I was a little alarmed by by his usage. But then again, like, Kenny Pickett came in, he looked a little better, but he also threw, I think, three interceptions in limited work. But I mean, look, then again, he also was his first game action. It was thrust on. He didn't really have as much time in practice, for example, as you otherwise would have. I think he looks much better just after a full week as the guy going forward. So we'll have to see. I think you're right. One more week, week five, we'll take a look at how he looks like and what the effect is on the rest of the Steelers offense. And we'll see if that changes or if that changes people's opinions on really any member of the Steelers offense, whether it's George Pickens positively, Deontay Johnson negatively. Najee Harris got a couple of rushing TDs vultured away from him by Kenny Pickett himself. So we'll have to see if that's something to worry about. But either way, those are the three buy sell holds this week. Geno Smith, Michael Pittman Jr., Deontay Johnson. Okay, let's get into the actual waiver wire pickups. And look, the waiver pickups this week, I think, have to be looked at because there were a couple of major running backs that have been placed on injured reserve. I mentioned before, Javonte Williams, he's done for this season, tore his ACL, his LCL, and a couple other of muscles, I think, in his knee. So he is done for the season. So I would imagine that Melvin Gordon is going to be one of the members assuming the majority of touches in the backfield. Having said that, Melvin Gordon has also fumbled the ball a lot. I don't think there's a lot of lost fumbles, but certainly he's put the ball on the ground more than any NFL coach would ever like. If it was Bill Belichick, he'd be banned. He'd be like sent to jail or something. Like he'd be in like running back jail for the rest of his career. But he plays for Denver. They need him. Mike Boone was also worked into the rotation a little bit. And then today, the Denver Broncos signing away from the Saints, Latavius Murray, to add to this whole quagmire. Are we in for another committee situation here in Denver, Matt?
I think we are. And I'm leaning. If I had to pick, like, somehow Latavius Murray was rostered, well, I guess because of this week, but he is rostered in 2% of leagues where Mike Boone is rostered in one. I kind of think that it's Mike Boone just because he's been in the offense longer. And the guy to actually be worried about because of the things that you mentioned, including putting the ball on the ground, is Melvin Gordon at this point. Like, this is not good for Melvin Gordon, the fact that they brought in Latavius Murray. And I think part of it is the Latavius Murray signing is depth, of course, but I think part of it is they are a little bit worried about the butterfingers for Melvin Gordon. Mike Boone is a decent enough pass catcher, and Melvin Gordon is a very good pass catcher, but I think Mike Boone gets worked into the rotation here. I've heard some things about Mike Boone over the past 3 or 4 seasons about how talented Mike Boone is, and maybe it's just a situation where he didn't have an opportunity. Listen, he was in Minnesota. He didn't have an opportunity there with Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison there. Those are two really good running backs. He gets to Denver, and he doesn't really get much of an opportunity because Javonte Williams and Melvin Gordon are there. He's got an opportunity now, and I think he's going to run with it. Latavius Murray just feels like the guy, the cockroach that won't die. He just ends up getting reps, whether it be in Baltimore, whether it be again in New Orleans. It's just constant, and now maybe in Denver. If I had my waiver claim, I would be spending it probably on Mike Boone. Like, for me, I think he's priority number one just because Javonte Williams is going to be out for the season, and I think that Mike Boone has some value here.
It's definitely possible that one of these guys becomes the guy, or maybe at the very least the guy who carries the ball more than any of the other guys. But I look, you are kind of guessing until we see more of this in action here. But I would think, given that Melvin Gordon is owned in virtually every league, Mike Boone at 2% and what, Latavius Murray at 1%, or they're both sub
well, the
3.
Reverse.
The reverse. Okay.
The reverse.
So, right.
Yeah,
so
because Murray played this week, so that's probably why his rostership is a little bit higher.
Right. So there you go. So if Boone is at 1%, then I mean, it's definitely a worthwhile waiver flyer at the very least, right? Like, I don't think you should be spending, in my opinion, you shouldn't be spending a ton of your free agent auction bid dollars, your fab dollars. You shouldn't be spending a ton of them on Boone just because, like, it would just be a real kick in the pants if you spent like $25 of your $100 on Boone. Then it's like Murray or it just ends up being Melvin Gordon after all, who gets the bulk of the carries. For another running back situation as well, I wanted to get to here, Matt. In Atlanta, Cordero Patterson, so he had the knee injury, and then in week 4 on Sunday, they decided, okay, he's going to be a pregame decision. They do actually play him. He is active. He plays for a bulk of the first half. I think he actually scored a touchdown. And then
he did.
Well, and then he didn't get to see the field basically at all for the second half. I don't know if he like tweaked something. I don't know if they actually said he was re-injured it or if they were just being generally cautious or he complained about feeling something in that knee of his. Either way, he was put on that 4-week injured reserve list. So he will absolutely miss at least the next 4 weeks. Someone has to carry the ball. And you and I have talked about Tyler Allgeier a lot. Like, I feel like every single week we have in some way, shape, or form said, huh, is Tyler Allgeier worth starting? Well, he's owned in 18% of fantasy leagues, and it's definitely possible he becomes the guy. However, they definitely worked in Caleb Huntley, who is owned in just 2% of the leagues. I think he was activated or elevated off the practice squad, and now he has like officially been signed, I believe, by the Falcons in Patterson's absence. This team clearly likes to run the ball a whole hell of a lot. They certainly like to run the ball more than they like to pass the ball to Kyle Pitts, I'll say that much. So you definitely want to own some piece of this running offense. I'm just not sure who it might be. Like, do you lean Huntley or Allgeier?
Well, Allgeier has the draft capital with the team, right? Like, Huntley did look good in his time. Allgaier's the rookie. I mean, this feels like a 50-50 split here. I know both guys looked good against the Browns. Now, having said all that, are they going to be able to run the ball as often as they did? No. Does Arthur Smith want to run the ball as often as he did? Yes. Is Arthur Smith a nutcase? Yes, because he won't throw to Kyle Pitts. Yes, all of these things are true. I'm not convinced that it's one guy or the other. If I'm leaning one way, it's probably Allgeier just because he has the draft capital. He's the shiny new toy, potentially. He did break off a big run, although Huntley did as well. I just look at the situation that if I had to put in a claim for one of them or spend more fab dollars on one of them, it would be Allgeier just because of the reasons listed. He was a very, very productive running back at BYU. Not against the best competition, certainly, but part of the conversation here. But yeah, I'd be leaning Allgeier if I had to choose.
I'm just, man, I'm so worried about Caleb Huntley because he was used so much. Like, it's incredible how, like, for a guy who was elevated off the practice squad, it's actually almost shocking how much he touched the ball. Like, and I know it's still, on the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot, to be fair. Like, it's not, but it was enough that it raised my eyebrows. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I was shocked when I saw him getting that work because I wasn't watching the game. I certainly bet on it and lost, but I was watching the game. I wasn't watching the game and I'm following along and I kind of look at it and go, well, hold on a second. That's a lot of Caleb Huntley runs and not a lot of Tyler Allgeier. And yet Allgeier was the one who had more yards. He had the better yards per carry. Again, he broke off one big run, but that's why I think it's just going to be split down the middle here. I really, really do believe that.
I think you're probably right. And I, again, for a team that runs the ball as much as the Falcons do, and I mean, a part of the run game for the Falcons does come off the legs of Marcus Mariota, like kind of, but still for a team that clearly is committing to the run as much as this team does, I think you want some piece. I would agree that draft capital would point towards Tyler Allgeier. Just don't be super shocked if he's not the kind of guy who can be a three down back, right? I mean, to be fair, in the world that we live in here in 2022, the NFL world, there's pretty much only what, like two or three guys you can really count on as three down backs. In all honesty, like across the entire NFL, Derrick Henry, I guess Austin Eckler, who, and I'm glad everyone held on him because he was a dynamic this past weekend against the Texans, but him, Henry, Jonathan Taylor, who very well might be injured with a sprain, an ankle sprain. Like, they're not a lot of other guys, really.
No, Najee Harris to an extent,
Chubb,
would
I guess,
be in that conversation. Right? Chubb gets a lot of carries, not involved as much in the passing game, but yeah, like guys that, like, we are so far away from having a bunch of guys that get 20 carries a week. Like, that just doesn't happen unless game script is dependent on that, where you have a blowout and you're just going to run the guy into the ground. Just a lot of teams just don't do that because they understand the volatility at the position. And if you have a good one, you want to, you know, keep him on the field type thing, so you're not going to run him into the ground. Saquon Barkley would be the other guy that's right, in that right conversation. Christian McCaffrey, even though he's not been all that great, but Barkley has been a monster. So yeah, but you're right. It's very few and far between. And honestly, it does feel like a situation in Atlanta where one week it's going to be Allgaier that has more points, and one week it's going to be Huntley. And if you have both of them or one of them, it's going to be the week you put in one in their lineup that he's going to be terrible.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just the way it works. Much like Taysom Hill, who, by the way, was actually fantasy relevant. Yeah, I'm glad we gave that one listener the decision to start Taysom Hill over Irv Smith Jr., because that worked out very well.
You know what's funny? I was watching the highlights of that game, because the game was on during the actual fantasy show, and I was watching the second half of it after we were done that morning while Inside the Lines was going on, and I saw Hill get the carry into the end zone, and I have Alvin Kamara in another league, and of course he didn't play, so I thought to myself, oh gosh, like who is going to get these touches? And Hill takes the ball across the goal line. All I could think of was, good for that one guy. Good for that one dude who texted in like 45 minutes. I hope whoever it is, I hope he was very pleased. I hope he won his week because of Taysom Hill, because you can't count on that too much. Before we wrap up our waiver wire pickups here, why don't you give me your last couple? I know you have, we talked about Geno Smith. We talked about the couple of running back situations in Denver and Atlanta. I know you have a couple more, so why don't you throw those at me, Matt?
Yeah, Corey Davis, you mentioned him as a guy who has actually been surprisingly good, even despite the quarterback change. And Corey Davis rostered in 25% of Yahoo leagues. So he's wide receiver 25 through 4 weeks. Yes, you heard that right. The Jets are going to have to throw a lot. And Corey Davis has 74 or more yards in 3 of 4 games. He's been by far and away the most consistent Jets wide receiver. I'm shocked that we're having this conversation in 2022, but Corey Davis has been really, really good. And then to round out the waiver pickups for this week, Rashad White, rostered in 27% of Yahoo leagues. Byron Leftwich said he wanted to get White more involved. And when he dropped that opening kickoff, which led to the Kansas City score within the first, 13, 14 seconds of the game, I was saying, well, there goes Rashad White's chance at getting more involved in the offense. And turns out he ends up with 5 catches for 50 yards. He did have a rushing touchdown. Tampa Bay is going to be in games. Tampa Bay is going to be behind in games. They're not dominant like they used to be. I mean, they're not going to play the Chiefs every week. But having said all that, this could have been the breakout game where Rashad White gets the James White role in this Tampa Bay offense with Tom Brady at the helm. And 5 catches for 50 yards is no slouch. If you're in full PPR leagues, that's double digits right there. Doesn't even include the touchdown. I think we're going to see a lot more Rashad White. He would probably be second on my waiver priority aside from Mike Boone.
All right.
I may even inch him closer towards 1 because of how he ate into Leonard Fournette's snap count this week.
How much? Okay, let me ask you this then. How much of game script plays into how much Rashad White was used? Because the Buccaneers were down by like 3 touchdowns, I want to say, for most of that game today or yesterday or on Friday, yeah, on Sunday.
On Sunday, yeah. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think it's worth the ad just because he excelled in that role. Like turning the 5 catches into 50 yards and show, not for anything, they gave him a carry on the 1 or 2 yard line, whatever it was, and he scored. That's generally a Leonard Fournette thing. Now, again, the game was a little bit out of hand at that point, and maybe they're just trying to rest Leonard Fournette. But this team can't look at this situation and say, yeah, Leonard Fournette's going to be healthy the whole year if we just give Leonard Fournette 80% of the snaps. Like, I don't think that that's going to happen. I think we are going to inch closer and closer towards a 60-40 split. It's also a rookie who's getting more acclimated to not only becoming a professional, but playing at the professional level with the speed of the game. The defenses are quicker. The defenses are different. They're more dynamic. You don't get vanilla defenses in a lot of cases. And that's why I think Rashad White is going to work his way more into the rotation. And I would not be stunned if Rashad White finished the season with more catches than Leonard Fournette. And Leonard Fournette caught a lot of footballs last year.
He did. Yeah, no, he absolutely did. I think for me, I will, if I had to do 1, 2, 3, I'd probably go Boone, Allgaier, and White in that order. But like, they're pretty bunched up together. Like, if you're going to argue for like White over Boone or Allgaier, you're kind of splitting hairs at that point. I got one more for you. And I mentioned George Pickens already. I think you should keep an eye on the health of the Detroit wide receivers, because it's a very large possibility that neither Amon-Ra St. Brown or DJ Chark play this week, which means it would be Josh Reynolds' season again. And he had a pretty good week. He's only owned in 20% of Yahoo League. So taking a look at Josh Reynolds, if he is on the waiver wire, maybe just put him on your bench if it's possible. Michael Gallup also caught a touchdown in his return from injury, 41% owned, so he's probably gone, but just it's just someone to take a look at. If you see the name out there, maybe put him on your bench. But Tyquan Thornton for the New England Patriots. So he was someone, I forget what the injury he had. I think it was a shoulder injury. Might have been a collarbone or like a rotator cuff injury. It was like up near his neck, basically. And he was out for the first little while of the season. They basically said it was a 6 to 8 week recovery process. He is owned, I believe, in 1% of Yahoo leagues. And he was one of the higher drafted rookie wide receivers. And as we know, the class of 2022 has been very, very good through the air. What do you think? Like, I know it's almost like the same conversation having it when as it pertains to Jameson Williams, certainly, right? Like, he was put on, you can kind of stash him in your IR slot. Certainly, Tyquan Thornton's still on IR in most of these leagues. What do you think? For 1% owned, is it worth stashing him for now? I know the quarterback situation in New England is a little wacky, but, I mean, whether it's Bailey Zapp or Brian Hoyer or maybe Mac Jones does come back in the next month, by the time Tyquan Thornton does return, I can't help but think that he might be someone to at least keep an eye on. I'm not saying he's going to contribute right away, but maybe someone to potentially think about here.
Yeah, I would be stashing him on my IR if you can. I did that in the fan league, our work league. I also stashed another guy, Greg Dulcich,
right,
tight end for the Denver Broncos. It is worthy of an ad, especially if you could just add right to your IR and not have to drop anybody for it. I think that's probably the smartest way to go about it. The other guy that would be of interest, Jameson Crowder's out with a broken ankle. Isaiah McKenzie, who has a touchdown in, I believe, 3 of 4 games for the Buffalo Bills. If he's back from the concussion, I would keep an eye on him as well.
Yeah, I think you do want as many parts of the best moving offenses in, and certainly just generally speaking, the best teams. I think that's always a good bet. Like, if you're not sure who to look at, certainly you're going to be able to derive value from like crappy teams, like obviously, but you can also, I think it's always a safe bet, generally speaking, to look at the good teams. And the Bills are probably the best team in the American League, or the American League, in the AFC. I've been thinking a lot about baseball today, okay?
Too much baseball, yeah.
Too much baseball.
Go Jays.
In the AFC, certainly. I mean, if they're not the best team, it's the Chiefs. But, I mean, they're one of the top three best teams at worst in the AFC. So if you want any piece of that offense, I think you can do a lot worse than Isaiah McKenzie. You're not worried about Gabe Davis, are you? You're a Bills fan. What do you think of Gabe Davis?
I think everybody's making a big deal out of Gabe Davis. Week 3, because he missed week 2, was not great. I understand that. But, you know, to talk about week 4 and say, oh, Gabe Davis didn't show up or this or that, or he got a lot of cardio in, the weather was awful in that game. And it's not as if Stephon Diggs lit the world on fire there. Did anybody see Mark Andrews' line? Mark Andrews, I believe, had 16 yards receiving in that game. Stephon Diggs in that same game had 62 yards receiving, but that's a far cry from what Stephon Diggs normally does. So, I mean, and Stephon Diggs only had 6 targets. He's had 9, 15, and 11 the first 3 weeks. So I'm not worried about Gabe Davis. They've got a couple of good matchups coming up here. Like, they do get the Chiefs next week. This week upcoming, they have another decent matchup here. So, I mean, I'm not really too concerned about it. Like, the Steelers have not been very good against the pass. So, yeah, I'm not worried about Gabe Davis. Watch him have a blow up week and then everybody shuts up.
That's just how it works, though. That's how the fantasy gods work. They work in mysterious ways, Matt.
Yeah, they do, and mostly not in my favor.
So, yeah, exactly.
Happy about
that. I'll put it this way. I think I'm in 5 leagues this year, right? 5 leagues. In 2 of them, okay, I am 4-0. In another 2, I am 1-3, and the other one, I am 2-2. That is the sheer dichotomy of fantasy football. And I'll admit, in the leagues I am 4-0, is it because I am the god of fantasy football? No, it's because of, like, things you can't control.
Like adding James Robinson in, like, the 15th round.
Right, right. Yeah, and or, like, taking Travis Etienne over, or taking, you know, any number of players over, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown, who was amazing in the first several weeks of the year. Anyways, it just goes to show it's kind of a crapshoot, and, like, what you do in fantasy fantasy football and the waiver wire stuff is a part of it, is you try and minimize as much of the luck aspect as possible. But like, honestly, sometimes it can't be helped. So we try and help you as much as we can. So that's the quick look at the various waiver wire pickups for the post week 4 action heading into the week 5, I guess, processing period on Wednesday afternoon, Wednesday morning in some cases, Wednesday afternoon in other cases, but all of this stuff happening right before the Thursday night or later on this week. But Matt, this was fun. We'll do it again on Sunday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on across the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Can't wait, buddy. We'll talk on Sunday.
That's Matt Marchese. I'm Shoaib Ali. You've been listening to The Fantasy Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.